Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Yes, we do. Today, we are talking about an animated TV series called Star Wars, The Bad Batch.
Oh, the Bad Batch. Special shout out to longtime listener, longer time friend, Ray, for giving me the idea to do this episode, actually.
Yay,
that's why
Ray.
I kept pushing it. Yeah.
Okay.
She also prompted us to talk about Thanos.
No. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Same
nice.
Ray.
Nice. Okay. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah. Go for it.
I have not seen any of the Star Wars stuff, like Clone Wars and all that. And as I've told Aman previously, it's mainly because I've been turned off by the style of animation. When did the Clone Wars first come out? What year was it?
Oh, God. It was like
how many seasons long is that show? Like 17? It seems forever.
I think like seven seasons.
Okay, that's like five more than I think it should have gotten.
I completely disagree. It was such a brilliant show and you are missing out.
One day, maybe I'll watch it. Okay, especially now.
So
have watched The Bad Batch, which by the way, when the previews first came out, definitely misread it the first few times. And I was like, oh, who are they talking about? The Bad Batch. So yeah, so I finally watched that after Aman basically forced me to. But there's a lot of questions I have, and we can delve into that and provide context around this. So Aman's going to provide the context because I don't know what's happening. But my first question, Aman, so
yeah,
when does The Bad Batch take place, actually?
All right. You have no idea how long I've been waiting to nerd out at you about this thing. So you have episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, that ends with Anakin Skywalker
becoming Darth Vader.
And the movie also ends with the birth of Luke and Leia.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then you have episode 4, A New Hope, which is, you know, the original Star Wars movie. And there you have Luke Skywalker, who is what, 18? 16, 18,
I genuinely don't know.
So, I mean, it's a very, less than 20 years.
Adventure always starts at the age of 18. Yeah. So let's go with that.
That's true. Adventure always starts at the age of 18.
16 to 18, actually, depending on if you're a Disney princess or not.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you're Shakespeare, then, you know,
14.
Ugh,
gross.
Gross, super gross. Anyways, we've moved on from Shakespeare for a reason.
Yeah.
So let's say anywhere between less than 20 years, basically.
Okay.
All right. Star Wars, The Clone Wars takes place between episodes 2 and 3.
Right.
All right. Okay. So what's episode 2 called again?
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones. Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
Why do I know that?
So, Attack of the Clones. So that whole like 6-7 seasons takes place between episodes 2 and 3, and pretty much with the latest quote unquote final season that they did recently, last year, maybe the year before.
Of the Clone Wars?
Of the Clone Wars, basically takes it right up to the beginning of, and even overlaps a bit with episode 3. Quite a bit, actually, with episode 3, the movie.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of timeline, The Bad Batch takes place immediately after episode 3.
Okay.
All right. The Jedi have been defeated. The Empire has been established. The Emperor establishes his control over the galaxy, over the Old Republic. All right. And one of the things that always baffled me was, how is it that when you start off with A New Hope, all right, you have Obi-Wan Kenobi explaining to Luke Skywalker, yes, the Jedi. People may have forgotten about their old ways, but this was a noble weapon. You know, he's talking about the lightsaber and things like that.
Uh-huh.
All right. And it's like, so, and you know, you've got Han Solo, who's like, psh, Jedi Force. What a bunch of like hokey-dokey nonsense. All right. How is it that in less than 20 years, people have completely forgotten about the Jedi? the Force, the Old Republic, everything. How the heck did that transition take place? And I think that the Bad Batch really starts to dig into that. So you have it taking place pretty much immediately after Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And it's a group of bad batch
clones.
Bad batch of clones who are making their way through the galaxy where clones are being eliminated. So, I mean, in this 20-year span, people forgot about the Jedi, forgot about the Force. Think of them as like, you know, bedtime stories at best, if at all. Don't really, there's no clones around. People don't even think of the clones. And that's less than 20 years. Late 80s, early 90s, all right? Uh-huh. The Reagan administration had just ended. You know, the George Bush administration had come and gone. And the first president that I really remember was Clinton. Okay.
Same.
For me, the end of the Cold War was that was a historical event for me, even though it happened technically the Iron Curtain fell, you know, during my lifetime, technically.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Soviet Union collapsed in our lifetime, but we think of it as a historical event, something that did not happen during our lives. But for our parents, I'm sure that even now they remember it quite well. You know, they don't think of it as some mystical thing and fairy tale that happened long ago.
Yeah.
You know? So within that time period, basically, it would be as though, like if we're talking about it now, for kids, let's say, who are 21 now, I was always like, how does that actually work?
Happen.
Like people remember this. It was a galaxy-wide war.
I mean, if you think about the real world and and humans. And how much they suck and how much their memories suck. Think of the last 20 years here, like between 2001 and 2021, there's a lot we've forgotten. And lot of like history always repeating itself and blah, 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 because humans never learn from their past. And
So I think like a better analogy rather than looking at right now would be like,
I was giving it as an example.
Yeah. But one way I'm thinking of it is like when you and I were very, very young, right? What the Emperor accomplished would be basically the same as if Al-Qaeda turned into some kind of a fairy tale or boogeyman that people don't actually think is real or even ever was real.
You
know, or like Osama bin Laden was some kind of a boogeyman, you know? Who may or may not have been real. Like that's literally what he accomplished, what the Emperor accomplished and Darth Vader accomplished with the Jedi and even the Force, you know? Mm-hmm. So I always wondered about that. So that's when, to go back to your original question, that's when the Bad Batch happens.
Okay, then. So when Luke and Leia are babies.
Luke and Leia are bebes.
For the average Star Wars viewer.
Yes.
That puts it in good terms. Okay. Yeah. And honestly, I feel... I really had to like put a lot of things together while watching the Bad Batch because I had not watched the Clone Wars and don't really remember episode 2 at all or episode 3. Yeah. So vaguely remembered this, but I forgot about it. So the clones were created by the Kaminoans.
Yes.
And they were like, here you go, the Republic, which were the good guys with that, which is what the Jedi were from, right?
Yes.
The Republic. And the clones actually fought for them. And then they got taken by the Empire, but then eventually replaced by stormtroopers who are human or, you know, not clones.
So a better way of thinking about it is the Kaminoans are more like arm stealers.
Yeah.
All right. The Republic needed an army because they'd never had a standing army beforehand. Mm-hmm. The Jedi just served as an intergalactic police force, in a sense, like Interpol.
Okay.
All right. And then, so the Kaminoans basically were the arms dealers. The Republic bought them. And then internally, using the excuse of the wars, all right, of this civil war in the Republic, where you had the Republic and you had the separatist planets.
Yeah.
The Emperor from inside the Republic was able to assimilate a lot of power, all right, to the point of becoming a dictator. So in ancient Rome, the title of Caesar wasn't actually like a permanent title that existed. The Roman Senate in times of emergencies would give basically emergency dictatorial powers to one person to act as Caesar. Right. All right. And but the thing is that that then leaves the opening where then that person could then stay Caesar because they had no mechanism to stop them. And in that same way, during Attack of the Clones in episode 2, the Republic Senate gave the Chancellor emergency powers like that of a Caesar. Okay. And then the Emperor used that to convert the Republic into an empire. And that's how the empire was born. So
was that Emperor Palpatine?
Yes, it was Emperor Palpatine.
Okay, Palpatine same was emperor. The original. He's always the guy. How long does that dude live for? It's so annoying.
Well, if you look at the timelines, apparently a totally normal lifespan.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Whatever. I mean, think about it. Let's say he became emperor at, like, emperor at 40. All right. 45. Let's even say 50. Oh, okay.
God. Okay.
let's say he's 50 years old when the Clone Wars happens and he converts the Republic into an empire.
How long did the Clone Wars last? Like 3 years?
Let's say 5 or 6 years. Five or eight years. All right. Anyways, he's 50. All right. So Revenge of the Sith. Okay. Let's even say all the way to the end of the original trilogy. Uh-huh. All right. So 25 years, let's say. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
He's 75.
Right.
Like that's still within a normal human lifespan.
And then is he's not alive, right? For 7, 8, and 9, episode 7, 8, and 9. Or
no, but they kind of did some weird stuff. If you remember, they kind of like clone him or some shit. Stupid. It was weird. It.
Sucked.
It was weird. Sorry.
Episode 3 just destroyed it. I mean, not episode 3. Episode 9 destroyed the whole thing for me. Really I was did. Like, what the it, hell it really is this? Did. Another reason why I've been just turned off by a lot of Star Wars content because of how shitty the most recent trilogy ended. It was so
It's so weird because the best Star Wars content of late is everything but the movies between The Mandalorian, The Bad Batch, The Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels.
You see the whole Boba Fett thing.
Oh, the Book of Boba Fett is going to be awesome.
That looks good.
Temuera Morrison's, you know, reprising his role from Attack of the Clones to play Boba Fett again. It's going to be, everything good that is happening in the world of Star Wars is happening everywhere but the movies.
But the movies,
okay.
I think they're like done with the movies for a while. I'm pretty sure they're not gonna try that.
I kind of hope so.
Totally sucked at that.
Give it a minute, folks.
Way to ruin it. Anyway,
25 years, still like a totally normal human lifespan.
Okay, fine. That's fair. I have another. Can I just like keep asking basic ass questions and then
I think that's a great way to do this.
Okay.
You go with your basic questions
and you'll provide context. The clones that we see in the Bad Batch in episode 1, when they're in that cafeteria and you see like the non-defective clones, you know, like is that what they looked like also in the Clone Wars series?
Yes.
Okay. And second, who is that guy? Why did they pick that face? Why does he have an Australian New Zealand accent? why did they pick this look? And
because
were the clones also only men?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because they were all cloned from a single bounty hunter, Jango Fett.
Right. Jango Fett. Okay.
They were all cloned from the exact same guy. Because
what
it's so
special
it's a factory.
About Jango.
I mean, they were just like, he seems good. He seems to have excellent physical abilities and qualities. We can take his DNA and turn it into an army.
Now diving into the Bad Batch. what is Omega? Like, what wasn't she like her own genetic thing, clone, whatever? Like,
so this was the weird thing about it from Jango Fett. All right. All of the clones are basically altered a little, quite a bit. All right. Right. Their DNA is tweaked to make them more appropriate to be soldiers.
Right.
All right.
They're like there enhanced a bit.
Enhanced in some ways, regressed in other ways to make them more compliant, more loyal, things like that. Mm-hmm. Their growth was sped up and you know, direct training and things like that into the brain. So, you know, most of the clones that you meet were grown within like a couple months from scratch. All right. And they become full adults within a couple months and get all the training dropped into them Matrix style. Mm-hmm. All right. And then they're soldiers off to war. Right. All right. There were so originally in Attack of the Clones, you find out that there is exactly one clone who is made, who is completely unaltered. Not his growth isn't sped up. The genes aren't altered. None of that. Mm-hmm. And that clone is Boba Fett. Okay.
Django's son.
Django's quote unquote son, but actually complete and total clone. He's a clone.
Weird.
All right. Mm-hmm. And at least in the Bad Batch, what they revealed is that the only other clone who was completely unaltered
and is growing at a normal rate.
And is growing at a normal rate from and being raised from, you know, baby form is Omega.
Omega.
The thing that confuses me is where did they get the Y chromosome? Or the other X chromosome. Like, I don't know
how why is she a turned
her. Yes, why is she a girl? Like, maybe they just took half of Django's DNA, or like half the just took the X chromosomes and just doubled it. Like, I don't know enough about genetics how to make that work.
Right.
But that is what makes her valuable. Because with the repeated clonings, the original DNA was degrading. And that's why the Kaminoans were after Omega.
Right.
So because they wanted another source of pure DNA since Jango was dead.
Right, right. Yeah, I feel like with this season, they were really setting up the relationships and like the fun adventures are going on to rescue different characters, you know? And
yes.
And then they threw in that bit of knowledge about Omega and hopefully they'll explore that in the second season.
I was really expecting Omega to be like a force user or something, or like having like a Jedi, having psychic powers, like of
Baby
some
Yoda,
kind. Yeah, maybe like Baby Yoda, but like enhanced. You know, Wrecker is super strong, Tech is super smart, Hunter has heightened, you know, senses of
leadership,
you
know, skills,
but also like smell and taste, and like he has heightened senses. All right.
What about Echo? And
so this is where you missed out by not watching the original Clone Wars series.
Was Echo in the Clone Wars series?
Yes, he was.
So what's his special ability?
He doesn't have a special ability, actually. Echo has a whole backstory, which for anybody who hasn't seen Clone Wars, I'm about to totally ruin. Maybe I shouldn't ruin it. Basically, Echo is a regular clone who then went through some shit.
Oh no.
And then he ended up joining the Bad Batch because of the shit he went through.
That's why he that just so puts sad. It simply. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then what about Crosshair?
Crosshair has shot. I mean, he's basically like Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But for Star Wars, basically.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, the whole time I thought it was pretty hypocritical of the rest of the Bad Batch to just abandon Crosshair like that, because the whole time they're like, oh, it's his inhibitor chip, blah blah blah, and when, you know, the inhibitor chip or whatever was going haywire in Wrecker's brain, they still helped him. They didn't just kill him or abandon him or whatever, you know. Well, and they didn't do that for Crosshair. And so, you know, in the last few episodes when they're like reuniting and stuff, and Crosshair is like, you didn't give me a chance, you guys abandoned me, I was like, y'all did, you know, like he has every right to be angry at you right now. I was kind of feeling for Crosshair.
I was kind of feeling for him too, but also at the same time, like the circumstances around Wrecker's inhibitor chip going crazy were very different from Crosshair's. Like Crosshair's, like they were under attack. Like the rest of the army was there. you know, attacking the Bad Batch, like, and all of a sudden, like, Crosshair's attacking them. Like, it was crazy. It's like, well, shit, you're shooting at me, you know, with Wrecker. Well,
Wrecker almost killed Omega.
Yes, he did. But there wasn't anybody else around. They had an opening, quote unquote, because it was just Wrecker. They weren't having to contend with the rest of the Imperial Army also attacking them at the same time.
Yeah. I'm so just saying, if they really thought that, like,
they should have gone back.
They should have gone back for him. They should have, like, kidnapped him and whatever. But I mean, obviously it's revealed later that, like, he had his inhibitor chip removed anyway. And
I mean, there's a lot of iffiness there with the inhibitor chip thing, like with the way they treat some of the other clones and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's actually super morally dark. If you think about it, you know, like, you are killing clones who are not acting of their own free will. Like, it's a dicey situation, you know?
And also cloning in general is a dicey situation.
Yeah. But this is a galaxy a long ways away. And this is within clones. I mean, they're all basically the same species in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, what I was thinking was it's the same sort of morality questions that come up with the death penalty being unconstitutional in the US in the case of somebody who is criminally mentally insane.
Right, mentally unwell.
But the legal definition of being criminally insane.
Yeah.
All right. Which is that if somebody doesn't have the ability to tell right from wrong, you cannot impose the punishment of death upon them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what makes it cruel and unusual.
Right. All right.
And it's the same sort of thing here. Like, these are people who do not have the ability to understand or even make the choices that they are making, who are then being attacked and killed by the total badassery of the Bad Batch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I also just kept thinking of, like, first off, I've never thought this much about clones. Okay. So, like, I just, like, have no, you know, when you think about clones in the real world, we think of, like, that sheep or whatever that's been a clone. And so,
was it Dolly?
Yes. And it's like, at first when I was, especially in the context of Star Wars, I kept thinking of clones as, like, robots, but they're not robots. They're like actual people, right?
Yeah.
And they're like flesh and bone and all that. And do they each have their own personalities, or is that like a Bad Batch thing?
They, like, do only each have, so if you had watched the
okay, you don't need to start every sentence with that. Okay, I know, this is why we're having this conversation, so you can just answer my basic questions.
I only answer two questions like that, but they actually do go into a lot in that series about how each of the clones really does end up developing a distinct personality because of their environment, if not their genetics.
Oh my God.
All right.
It's almost like creating like a multiverse for like Jango Fett. Right.
Because
you would see, it's like, oh, if Jango Fett was here on this planet, he would make these choices.
Out like
this. Could have been like this or that. Oh, so yeah, interesting. Yeah. What was going to be my next question? I don't remember. But so that's interesting about just all the clones in general. Like, I had to really change my. I'm like, okay, I had to keep like kind of reminding myself. So they're not like robots, you know, like.
Yeah,
even
they're living beings.
But I think because of the inhibitor chips and like they're literally created to be soldiers, it's sort of robotic, right? Their actions.
Yes.
So it was easy to make that comparison, I think, in my
mind. Yeah, in many ways, yes. But it's still really heartbreaking for me because you see episodes, I think even in the Bad Batch, where you have clones who defect from the clone army and are just like, I'm not having it with this war. I just want to live a life.
Yeah.
Have a family, get married, have a family, just, you know, be a normal person.
Right. Which is why, I mean, like, and then if you get into the topic of AI and, you know, whatever artificial intelligence, whether it's like a robot or a droid or a clone or something, you know, mm-hmm. that we create, once it's obviously intelligent and is able to evolve its intelligence, mm-hmm. you know, it's sort of, I mean, this is what all like dystopian fiction basically warns us, right? That like they all kind of have the potential of getting their own personalities and
yes,
wanting things like free will. And then it's like, who are we honestly to keep them caged or torture them or what, you know, that's
yeah,
that whole conversation, you know, starts happening again. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it does pose a lot of interesting questions. And I think that's one of the things that makes science fiction interesting is that like, especially like in the world of Star Wars, this is supposedly taking place a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Uh-huh.
And in a completely different kind of environment, even from the one that it's from the a completely different kind of cultural and social environment that we live in, and a completely different technological environment, you know? So you have different species where there are completely different ideas behind right and wrong, what's ethical, what's not ethical.
Yeah.
And then these different moral systems are also coming together in a soup of sorts.
Yeah.
So I feel like the kinds of questions that you're bringing up in terms of ethics, it's very, very relevant. And at the same time, I can totally see it happening in the world of Star Wars because of competing moral codes that exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the best example is looking at the United Nations and something like the Human Rights Council. You know, not every country on there quite meets a standard for human rights that we in the US would consider. But when you're at the United Nations, it's a different, you end up with a completely different kind of calculus in terms of what's right, what's wrong, what is the moral framework that we can actually all agree on. You know, and if you look at the world of Star Wars, you've got the Kaminoans who are like, we're cloners. We're very good at it.
Yeah.
You need soldiers. Yeah. And they're like, all right, I guess we do.
Yeah.
I guess we do.
It's just, it's kind of just crazy to think about if we ever got to that point. Cause like, like if we had this technology, right? Like the US military would 1000% be like, yep, let's just have a clone army. Like, you know. Clone them now, send them in, you know, and
yeah,
1000% you would do that. And it's,
I mean,
scary.
That's, and it's definitely a dicier moral question to do that, like creating biological soldiers versus creating robots with a highly, highly advanced artificial intelligence bordering on sentience, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they bring up totally different.
That's
true. Moral questions.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not quite the same if you think about it.
No. Yeah. I'm not saying it's the same. I just think both. Yeah, you're right. Both of them bring up different moral and ethical questions.
Yes. I mean, how far does the DNA of an individual in cloning, let's say, have to be altered before it can no longer be considered a person? Mm-hmm. Or is it in fact that alteration that does make them an individual person? What is a child if not a blended clone of their parents?
Yeah, my head hurts now. Cool.
You're welcome.
And really the last thing that I just wanted to bring up is I just think there are some aspects of Star Wars that I'm just like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. Like, for example, anytime someone is thrown in a prison, which is guarded by stormtroopers in the Empire, and then someone breaks out of the prison, you know, like
you'd think they'd have better prisons by now.
That, and it's like, why doesn't a security alarm go off when a prison door opens or something?
You know,
and
they disable the security.
They
disable the security system, or they knock out the guy at the video.
It's just, I don't know. But honestly, their prisons suck. I'm like, why does this keep happening? Like, you guys really need to like make this better.
The Empire definitely had some basic infrastructure issues.
I feel like there are residential homes currently here on Earth that have better security systems, okay, than the freaking Empire's prisons. It's so stupid. So, and yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. And then, so the stormtroopers, is that what the clone army looked like? I'm sorry, super basic question. Is that what they look like or no?
What do you mean?
Like the stormtrooper outfit, you know.
No, it was altered. They altered the stormtroopers had a slightly different uniform and helmet design than what the clones did.
Right, but it's similar, right?
Yeah, similar.
And stormtroopers,
they got the same designer.
And stormtroopers were just regular people or not clones.
Correct.
Right. And that's what they started to replace the clones with, which honestly, that also didn't make sense to me either. I'm like, why are they doing this? They're literally making things less efficient.
There was actually an absolutely brilliant line that covered exactly this question in The Bad Batch.
Oh,
all right. Some of the original stormtroopers, they're talking to each other and they were like, well, you know, I like getting paid.
Oh,
you know,
loyalty.
I like to be able to feed my family, but it's less about loyalty, I think.
Yeah.
All right. It's less about loyalty of the individual soldier. All right. And it's about boosting the economy of the empire as a whole.
And providing better incentives.
And better economic incentives. And yeah. I mean, I think that actually plays into a big part in terms of how the emperor was able to establish such strong control.
Yeah.
By recruiting people as soldiers into the empire's army, which obviously has very vast needs, all right? Mm-hmm. Not only did he get the loyalty of the soldiers who are getting paid, he got the loyalty of the populaces from which they were coming from, because a lot of that money then goes back to them,
boosting
their economies.
And then you've got your own little propaganda machines running.
Exactly.
If you look with the empire, the
best example that I can think of in the real world for that is Nazi Germany.
Hitler,
you guessed it. Hitler, right before World War II. All right, right after World War I, the German economy was completely devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Right, completely devastated. Literally, like inflation was a kind of thing where it was like, you go to a coffee shop, you order a cup of coffee, and then the next, and you're like, you know what? I think I'll have a second cup. The price of that second cup will be higher than the first one.
Right.
You know, I mean, completely demolished economy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hitler comes in. All right. Huge wave of nationalism. Fingers a bad guy. All right.
Yeah.
I.e. the Jews. And mm-hmm. and creates this absolutely horrible system.
And the gays and the gypsies.
Everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go on. Yeah.
But in that process, he used it as a tool to boost up the German economy. The German economy went from being the smallest right after World War I to being the most powerful at the beginning of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In a very short period of time, the economic, the GDP level of Germany went from nothing to being a war machine that almost took over the world.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that, I'm sure, was propaganda. It was also boosting up the livelihoods of, you know, everybody who wasn't in a concentration camp, into Germany. A lot of it had to do with seizing the assets of a big portion of the German population, i.e., you know, the Jews and the Roma and everybody. Like, I mean, you know, they seized up all of their assets, pumped a lot of it back into the German economy for everybody who was left.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it turned things around very, very quickly in Germany.
Yeah. You know,
You went from this imperial parliamentary system, monarchic system that existed in Germany, all the way to Hitler talking about a 1,000-year Reich. You know, like, I mean, this is a very dramatic shift. And that is the best analogy that I can think of in terms of what the empire accomplished with its victory. Well, not the empire's victory, but like the Emperor Palpatine's victory in the Clone Wars against the Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, the Clone Wars was not the war between the Republic and the Separatists. It was the war between the Sith and the Jedi.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just, it's kind of crazy to think about what humans will do and anyone would do, you know, if you're facing a certain level of poverty and if there's like something to help solve for that, then you're going to take that. And
I mean, I think that what you just said is very applicable for what happened in Germany between the two world wars. However, in the Empire's case, what's interesting is that people weren't necessarily feeling like they lived in poverty, but simply improving the economic livelihoods without needing anybody to feel like they needed more.
You know?
I mean, there were obviously parts of the galaxy where there were people living in poverty and not happy about it, but just improving things, you know, made people go, hey, this is better.
Yeah.
And that was enough, it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, we see that a lot in, you know, first world countries, right? The US, it's like, you know, if you have convenience, you're like, sure, okay, I'll go along with this. Like, I feel like that every time it's like, I order something from Amazon, I'm like, I know they're a really shitty company. Don't treat their employees right. And I really actually have cut down on ordering from Amazon. But, you know, sometimes it's like, shit, I need this tomorrow. And I'm going to choose convenience right now over whatever ethics and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And anyway, another just tiny analogy that's like way tinier than Nazi Germany, but still, like, it's just, it's so easy to go from when there is convenience, I think, happening in the world, you know, and your life is just like better and you don't even have to think about it, then that's how quickly things can.
Actually, the other evil empire, corporate empire that I was thinking of as we come close to the end of our episode here, I think, is Facebook.
Yeah.
Right. And all of the leaks that came out about Facebook knowing how their algorithms actually impacted people's views to promote
misinformation,
like the genocide of the Rohingya Muslims, for example.
Hate speech, misinformation about the pandemic, all of it.
Yep.
Which is hilarious because this week Facebook had its worst outage ever and lost $50 billion in one day. So, and you know, Twitter, all of Twitter is like worth $50 billion.
But that's what I was thinking of, was like the information gathering and then manipulation of what you see and how that's impacted our society in such a short period of time. I'd say easily just looking at the last 10 years.
It's pretty wild.
So
Aman, I have to say thanks for making me watch The Bad Batch.
You're welcome.
I did it reluctantly, but you know, it gave me a lot to think about. And I have a weird love. I have a love-hate relationship with Star Wars stuff. Like, I love it, but I hate it. And sometimes because it's so like, why are you doing this? But anyway,
if anybody was wondering why we do such little Star Wars content on this show,
it's because I'm the defective one.
It's okay, Lena. You're part of the Bad Batch. Wear it with pride.
Exactly. Anyway, no. Any last thoughts, Aman? No, we're good.
No, I feel like I spilled my heart and guts on this episode.
Great. I'm so glad. So happy for you. Great. Okay. Well, as always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.